to the book of Acts, chapter number 28. Acts chapter number 28. I realize for those of you that were able to be here on Sunday night, this is where we read from, and we'll read the same verses again tonight that we read on Sunday night, and try our best to give you what's on our heart for the service. Lord, been working in my heart since after the service Sunday night, and I want to try to be obedient unto Him and pray that He will touch us and make us a blessing and a help to you. My voice and my breathing is a little labored and weak today, but that'll be all right. The Lord can help us and use us as He sees fit in the service. Acts 28, when you found your place, if you're able and willing to, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. I want to read the first five verses again that we read on Sunday night and try our best to maybe continue somewhat what we started on Sunday night, or what the Lord started on Sunday night among us. Acts 28 and verse number 1, "And when they were escaped," that is Paul and these 276 men that were with him on the ship, in the sea, in the storm, "when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat, fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We tried on Sunday night, by the help of the Lord, to preach about the fire and keeping the fire going. We mentioned the fact that, and I'm not going to re-preach it unless the Lord wants me to, but we mentioned the fact that in these last days it seems as though the fire is fading in the church. And the fact that the fire represents the presence of God, but there are two different types of His presence. There is the indwelling, or the abiding presence, that is constant in the life of the believer. But then there's also that manifested presence that is not a constant, that there is a responsibility upon our part to bring wood to put it on the fire. We mentioned that it is our responsibility to bring the fuel, that is the wood, whatever it is that the Lord has given to us, however we may look at it, however we may measure it. It may just be a handful of sticks, it may be a wheelbarrow of logs, whatever it may be. Let's not criticize it or complain about what God has given to us. Let's just do our part and put it on the fire. And the fact that the fire may have fuel, but before that a fire can burn, it must be fanned, it must receive air, oxygen. And we talked about that our responsibility lies in bringing the fuel and being prepared and setting the atmosphere, but God's part will be the fanning, to send the breeze and the wind from yonder shore and stir the coals and fuel the fire in our heart to burn again within us. Then we got done Wednesday or Sunday night, and we're standing around talking. It was mentioned, well, what is the wood? We preached on Sunday that we're to bring the wood for the fire, but what is it that we're talking about? That this Apostle Paul, now in literal form, he gathered a bundle of sticks. It was wood, and he put it on the fire. But if we're going to spiritualize this, and there is a great spiritual application in the fire, in the fact that the Bible said the fire in Acts 28 was necessary because of the present rain and because of the cold. They didn't build the fire because of what yesterday's weather was like, but they built the fire based on present circumstances. And I'll say, looking in our day, in our present circumstances, we can talk about how it used to be and thank God for how it used to be, but we need the fire again in today's circumstances in the church. Just like Brother Yoakley preached in the meeting today, God is the God of today. He deals in the here and the now. And because of our present reign, because there's so much that is working against the church and against the fire and against the power of God, that ought to put a greater desire and determination in us to have the fire in our day. So what is this wood? The Bible said he brought a bundle of sticks. I thought, was reading, the Lord began to stir in my heart, and I'd been pondering on it for days, but it wasn't until last night that the Lord really got to working on me and speaking to my heart. And I don't have anything fancy or deep tonight, but I just got what's on my heart from the Lord. I don't know anything else to give, and I pray that it'll reach your heart as it's touched mine. But I got to reading, the Bible said Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks. And something in my heart, as simple as that word is, and as much as we know it and understand it, something in me said, you better pay attention to the word sticks. If we're going to preach about what the wood is, then we're going to have to know what the Bible meant when it said he brought the sticks. And the word sticks, in its original, and I'm not trying to get deep, and I'm not a deep preacher, but in its original is where we get our word parched or dry. And what the Bible is saying is that Paul sought out dry wood that he knew would burn. Because you see, in our day, in our modern church world, and the modern religious age we're in, a lot of people want to bring the wood, but they don't have no dry wood that'll do the work and fulfill the job and the need in our life. They want to bring wet wood, and all wet wood does is smother out the fire. Or they want to bring clean wood because that they're not patient to allow God to have his work in their life. They want it here and they want it now, and so they bring green wood. And I don't know how many of you ever tried to burn green wood. It makes a lot of noise and a lot of smoke, but it does not produce the heat. You can get by with green wood. I want to tell you, I don't want in my spiritual life and within the church, I don't want to just get by. And you know what you'll do with green wood? I know, I don't know probably as much as many of you, but I've burnt wood long enough to know. My wife's grandpa and me have talked about it many a day. He said you can burn green wood, you can get by with it, but in the end you'll burn more of it than you will if you just had good dry wood. You know why that is? Because the green wood won't put off the heat necessary, and so you have to burn more of it than you would if you had some that would put out the good hot flame. And so what we're doing in this day, it's very apparent in our church age, and I didn't intend to say any of this, hadn't even thought about it until just now while I was preaching, but this is very evident in our church world that we're hung up on green wood because we run the people ragged about all our plans and our programs and visitation and prayer meetings, and there ain't nothing wrong with meeting to pray if we're really going to pray and get down to business with God. But what we've done is we fill the week up with stuff to do, and it's run the people half to death, and they ain't got time for God or time to be serious about God, and so we're heaping on the green wood, and it may look good and sound good, but there's no real heat that's being produced in the house of God. And if sinners come in cold and dead, they need real heat to warm them up. If sinners come in and all we got's just a little fire of coals that might knock the chill off a little bit, it's no wonder they're unaffected in our church world today. God help us to have the right kind of wood and put it on the fire. The Bible said Paul gathered a bundle of sticks, dry wood to put on the fire. And that's what we need. But we got to know the difference between the wet and the dry and the green and what we call in the mountains seasoned wood. What we need in our church world today is some men and women who have spent some time with God and have some Holy Ghost seasoning on them to come to the house of God with some good dry wood that's been seasoned and the wind's blowed on it from yonder's world and put it on the fire and watch it burn again in our church day. You say, well, preacher, I want to do it. How can I do it? Well, this is what the Lord said to me, and I'm going to give it to you. I got about four things, and I'll be done. Number one, the Lord spoke to me, and He said, there's wood in your presence. You have no idea what it does to others around you just to show up to the house of God. Now, I'm not talking about that's all we need to do because we get off in a ditch right there if we're not careful and think that we're doing God some kind of service just by showing up to the house of God. But that's not what I'm talking about. But there is a wood. There is some fuel to the fire to others around you and to the preacher. It does my heart good to look out over the crowd and to see you here. The Apostle Paul said it like this in Hebrews chapter 10. He said, we are to provoke one another unto love and to good works. The word provoke means to incite or to fuel a fire. And how do we do it? The very next verse, the thought doesn't end there. There's no ending punctuation. The thought carries through to the next one from verse 24, Hebrews 10, to verse 25. And the next verse is well known. Verse 24, he said, consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How do we? So in its context, the way that we provoke one another, the way that we help fire one another, the way that we exhort one another is to be together in an assembly. It's kind of hard to exhort one another when we're not assembled together. So there's wood in your presence. If you don't think there's wood in your presence, then why would the flesh fight so hard? Seems like to me the hardest day of the week as far as the world's concerned and work's concerned. That seems to always fall on Wednesday. You'll be the most tired on Wednesday. Things will go the most wrong on Wednesday. And you say, why is that? Because the devil and your flesh does not want the things of God. They're contrary to it. And so therefore, the devil knows there's joy and power in the people of God assembling together. And so what I say is this, and I'm not knocking anybody or pointing anybody out or belittling anybody or being mean to anybody, but when you don't feel like coming, come anyway. When you're too tired to come, come anyway. And you say, I won't do anybody any good as far as you know. But I'm telling you, there is wood, there is fuel to be had in the presence of the people of God assembling together. That's But we can't just assemble together. We can't just expect to come and that's all there is to it. That's all the wood that we can bring. Oh no. I want to say there's wood in your presence, but there's wood in your prayers. When you can get a word through to heaven, oh, it'll put wood on your wagon to bring it in. We've talked already, and it was mentioned in the revival. I've mentioned it on Sunday when you can pray and feel like God has heard you and you've rung the prayer bells and you can come in and tell the folks of God you touched heaven and God said it's going to be all right. It'll put some wood on the fire and fuel it for their heart. Amen. You never know when you might get through. Might be the time when someone else is struggling to get through. And what they need to know is that you prayed today and you got through. And you didn't get through yesterday. And you didn't get through the day before or the day before or the day before. And today you felt like giving up. But something inside you said go one more time. And the one more time that you went, your prayer got through. That's wood for the fire. See, Elijah prayed on heaven and literally God sent fire. But I thought about in the New Testament, Paul referenced many times when he was writing to the churches about his prayers for them. You say, why was he doing that? Not because he wanted himself to look good. Not because he was arrogant and boastful. But Paul knew that if they knew somebody was praying for them, it would fuel their fire and stir them up. How many times in your life, I don't know at the times in mine, that I felt like I was on the bottom, that the flame was just about to go out, that there was no go left in me. But some dear saint of God, one of you here at the church, would come by and shake my hand or pat me on the shoulder and say, I love you and I'm praying for you. And it would begin to spark again. You say it didn't seem like much. Well, just a twig or two will keep the fire from going out. So let's bring what we have and put it on the fire. There is wood in your prayers. There's wood in your presence. There is wood when you praise God. When you come in and tell others about what God has done for you. How many times, and I'm just preaching tonight, it's just us right here, we're just preaching, okay? How many times do we come in and we all take our seat? And as much as we know one another and have been with one another, and the preacher says, and I'm not fussing anybody tonight, if you had it, I hope you did it, and if you didn't, I'm glad you didn't. But how many times do we come in and the opportunity of the door is open, the Lord's put something on your heart to say, and the preacher says, does anybody have anything to say? And we sit here and say, let somebody else, Lord. Let somebody else, Lord. I don't know about you. I'm just going to preach and be honest about myself. Sometimes in my past, the Lord said, why don't you say something? And I feel, and I sit down and I analyze, what could I say? And I know that may be bad on me, but I'm just confessing and being honest about myself. And inside my mind, I'm criticizing everything I could say and thinking, Lord, I don't have anything good to say. Not that I can't praise Him. Not that He ain't worthy, but I just can't seem to find the words. And so when I can't find them, I keep my seat. How about you? How many times has the Lord come to you while you're sitting in your seat and said, why don't you thank me? And we think we have to have, now I'm not knocking anybody. If the Lord can fill your mouth and you can testify for 50 minutes, if it's of Him, go ahead. I'll be glad to hear it. But we think if we can't have big words or swelling speeches or impress the people and we've already got off the wrong track, it's not about everybody else. It's about Him. Amen. If the Lord comes, and I'm trying to encourage you tonight, not discourage you. I hope it's coming across right. But the next time you sit in your seat, it doesn't matter if it's just us or if there's 50 visitors here. And the Lord says, why don't you thank me for what I've done for you? If all you can do, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, I'm trying to get the point across. But if all you can do is rise to your feet and say, I thank the Lord for saving me, and sit back down. If that's all that's on your heart, do it. It'll put fuel on the fire. If you don't feel like you can even stand, just keep your seat and say, I thank God for what He's done for me. You say, that don't seem like much. Well, it may just be the kindling. The Bible said these men kindled a fire. Somebody's got to start it. And who knows what may happen from there. See, they kindled the fire. They did their part. They gave their testimony. They gave their fuel. They gave what they had. But ain't you glad there's somebody in the congregation that didn't want to see it go out? And they had a bundle of sticks. I looked up that word bundle today, and it literally means a great number. Paul came in. You say, I can't testify like anybody else can. I don't want to. I testify like you do. Do what God gives you to do. Say what you have to say and put what you have on the fire. They just kindled the fire. Now, best I can understand, if I'm going to put that in mountain language, and the way I understand it, is what that verse means is they got the fire going. And they said, here it is, boys. Lay with it. And here come. And we come in sometimes and we feel like it's all but went out. Just a few red coals in the bottom. But ain't you glad when the wind of heaven begins to blow over the coals that look so dead and gone out, and they start to glow red again. And you know what God's doing? He's speaking in your heart and saying, you got the kindling, you got the starter, just put it on the fire and watch it burn. You can't throw a heap of wood on a fire that just has got started. And the Lord, now I'm not criticizing anybody about what you have or minimizing it. No, I'm trying to preach it that's in my heart. God wants you to get it started sometimes and let somebody else put what they have and somebody else what they have and what they have and what they have. And before you know it, it's ablaze. There is wood in your praise. And we're afraid in our day. I'm just going to, you know, they say confession is good for the soul. And I'm just going to be honest tonight, okay? We won't ever get anywhere with each other or with God until we're honest. But we have let the modern religious crowd take the words from the Word of God and make us scared to use them. I thought today, the Lord was speaking to my heart last night, and He said, tell them that there's wood in their praise. And I thought, Lord, that's a modern word. We don't use that word much around here. We use worship. We use thanksgiving. We use testifying. But since when is it wrong for us to want to praise God? I'm not talking about the praise and worship that the modern world thinks is praise and worship, and they got to have some worship leader to come in and work it up. I'll tell you who the worship leader is. His name's the Holy Ghost. And when He works it in your heart for praise to come out of your mouth, don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Just say it. It's kind of like, and I'm not trying to get worldly here, but it's kind of like the old, I was growing up, Nike was the big brand, and their theme was just do it. And I'm telling you, when the Lord puts it in your heart, just do it. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks, just do it. Don't worry about what anybody else may say, just do it. I'll tell you what, if they're right with God, they'll rejoice, it'll fuel their fire. It don't matter how little you think it is, or how much you think you stammer and stumble, just do what's in your heart to do. And there'll be wood in the praise. And then I thought, and I'm done. The Lord spoke to my heart and He said, tell them that there's wood in a proclamation, that if you spend some of that time in prayer that I was talking about a few minutes ago, every now and again, you're going to get a word from heaven. The Lord's going to say something to you somewhere along the line. I'm not talking about getting up and preaching, but I'm saying there is a word from heaven for all the people of God. And the Lord really worked this one in my heart, and I'm going to be done. He said, here's the man. Now I'm just going to, I don't know how it works with you. And I'm not trying to get it to work for you like it works for me. We all are individuals. It all works for us different. We all have our own personal. That's why it's a personal relationship between us and God. We could all be closer. And I'm not boasting or bragging about me. But when the Lord speaks to me, it's real simple. Most of the time, it's not very profound because He knows I can't understand it. But I was sitting there last night and I was reading over this scripture again. And just a voice spoke in my heart. And this is how it spoke. It said, what do you think about that? I'm being honest. He said, what do you think about that? I said, what do you mean, Lord? He said, the man that just the last chapter got the word from the Lord is the same man that's got the bundle of sticks to put on the fire. And I don't know what you would say, but in my heart, to my Lord, I said, wow. Just a few verses ago, everything looked like it was going under, and the Bible said, after long abstinence. Don't read that verse wrong. I've been guilty of it. It don't say after long absence. I'm sure Paul got alone and got away, but the word is abstinence. Abstaining. It's where we get the word fast. I don't know if he went without food. I don't know if he went without sleep. I don't know what he abstained from. But after long abstinence, Paul got a word from God. He said, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. And he said it was going to be all right. And now, after they've made it safely to shore, there's 276 of them, and the same one that got a word from heaven is the one come carrying a great number of sticks. But here we are, and me and Brother Oakley talked about this during the meeting. We go to pray, and the Lord speaks to us. And I'm not talking about great booming words out of the sky. He just speaks to your heart. And He lets you know something. And I'm going to tell you what human nature is. Human nature says, that wasn't the Lord. Don't you go tell anybody that that was the Lord that said that. It won't happen like you think it will. Yeah. And so we come into the church house and we've got a word from the Lord. Something down on the inside says, won't you tell them what you heard today? Won't you tell them what I told you today? We say, oh no. They might think we're crazy. It might not be so, Lord. It might not have really been you. I might just been hearing things. Reckon what had happened to this fire if the Apostle Paul hadn't put a bundle of sticks on it. Probably would have went out. And I'm going to tell you, nobody is immune. Nobody is immune to the resistance of the flesh or the fight with the devil. No matter that I'm the preacher, I fight it just like you do. We come in here and meeting the other night, and the Lord had told me in as clear a tale as I had ever been told that everything was going to be all right, but something in me did not want me to say that. But I'm glad I did. Now, I ain't boasting in me, but there's some folks come around after the service was over with tears in their eyes and said, thank you. I needed to know everything was going to be all right. You say, what happened? Well, in my feeble little way, I didn't have much, but I just put a few sticks on the fire. And when you come in and testify, some of you, I've heard numerous times, some of you just a few, and I'm not fussing at you, but it does my heart good to hear what the Lord has done for you. What the Lord has said to you. We could hold all our wood back and be afraid to put it on. And I'm going to tell you, if we all do that, the fire's going out. It's going to fade and fade and fade and fade until there's nothing left. And then there we'll see it in the cold and in the ashes. All because we had fuel for the fire, but we wouldn't put it on. Lord, help me not to be that way. I know there's a struggle against the flesh. I know there's a battle against the things of the world and the resisting of the things that we don't want to do. But we ought to, if God has given us, and I said it Sunday night and I'll say it again, I'm done. Paul didn't plant the tree and he didn't make the branches grow. God gave the wood. And if you have any tonight or any other time we gather together, it'll be because God gave it to you. And if He gave it to you, He meant for it to be used. He didn't mean for you to stack it in the woodshed for a rainy day. They kindled a fire because of the present rain. And so that defeats the argument with our flesh that many of us have had. If you've been saved for any length of time, when we come in and the Lord says, do this, and we'll say, next Sunday, Lord. Next service, next Wednesday, when there's less people here, when it's a different time, when so-and-so's here, it's not for thee and it's for now. Because of this present rain and this present cold, God help us to bring in the wood. I know it's been simple tonight, but it's been on my heart. I believe it's necessary and needful for all of us to know that there's a fire that needs some fuel. And there's a God in heaven that's furnished us with the wood, the spiritual wood, in our prayer life, in our presence in the house of God, in our time with Him, in what He spoke to our heart about, in our circumstances, in our situations, to let others know what God has done. To praise Him and put wood on the fire. I want, if time lasts and the Lord doesn't come, I want my girls to see the fire. I don't want there to be tales about what it used to be or how it used to be around Gospel Way Baptist Church. I want the fire to burn. And I want to do my part. I can't expect you to do it all, and you can't expect me to do it all. We just need to bring what we have. And as I said Sunday, you may not feel like you have much, and somebody else may have much, but it may be different the next service. So we better give what we got. Whether it's just our presence, whether it's our praying, whether it's the praise, whether it's some proclaiming that we can do that God has led us in on something. We better bring our wood and put it on the fire and ask the Lord so kindly to blow from heaven and let it burn again. We need it in this present hour, in this present rain, and in this present cold. We need the fire to burn. Father, I thank You, Lord, tonight for this privilege, opportunity to have been able to be in Your house tonight with Your people. I thank You, Lord.